Well, good evening, boys and girls. We've had a few technical issues here on this end. That's the beauty of live broadcasting. But thank you for being patient with us. It's Lockdown Series Volume 2, Episode 17. It's the one with the new player signing that everyone is pronouncing so differently. To me, he's Mo. Here we go. All right, this is the Mo Show, as I like to call it. Here he is, the new signing on loan that promises so much. And joining me this evening is the legend that is Super Kevin Campbell.
Mo, how are you, Solf?
I'm doing good. So you guys, just so you know, we were having some issues with sound and headset and stuff. So let us know if Kev's coming out a little hot for you. I mean, he's always coming out hot. Let's be honest, okay? Super Kev is always, hot. Yeah, and no, Duncan, I wasn't trying to find a hat, although I do hope you like today's hat choice. It's a homage to Huggy Bear. If you guys are old enough to know Starsky and Hutch, Huggy Bear was probably one of the coolest, flyest TV characters ever, right, Casey?
Yes, that's right. He was. He very much was.
Good evening, everyone. We love that you're enjoying the lockdown series. Welcome to the show. We're going to try and get you out on this one so you can at least get to catch the second half of today's big game. But the most important thing of all is that we're back with our player series. And welcome to the Arsenal, Mr. Martin Ødegaard, however you'd like to pronounce his name. KC, what do you think about me calling him Mo? The only reason I do this is to alleviate... You don't like that. He's got the same initial. He's got the same initials as Mesut Ozil.
Exactly. So that's why I don't like it. No.
Okay. Well, look, let's get stuck right into it because I wanted to start off with this with you. You've watched him play, but one of the interesting articles that I had read over the last few weeks about this guy as we were kind of looking at him and stuff like that. I always like. You know how kids live in FIFA rating and their assessments? Nathan Bliss from Football London did a very interesting article about Ødegaard's, attributes. And you know how on our player profile, we like to look at attributes. So I'm just going to give you the FIFA 21 profile assessed rating of him. And then we'll get to the Kevin Campbell, I saw him with my own eyes ratings as well. And then there's also a very interesting article that Sid Lowe wrote for ESPN, which I think outlines how Real Madrid have done away with the younger players, KC, in order to stick with what they have, but it hasn't necessarily worked out from them. And Ødegaard is one of those players that they kind of discarded. So Nathan writes...
Did you say that Real Madrid have done away with the young players?
Well, they've sent them out on loan. They haven't trusted them to play them. They've decided to stick with, and why wouldn't you stick with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric?
True. It's not true.
Really?
And I'll dispel that. Yeah, I'll dispel it. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Then we'll do that. Let me give you this. Well, hold on a second. Jovic has gone back to Germany, scored more goals in a year at Real Madrid. There have been two or three other loanees that have gone out as well, Super Kev. Zidane hasn't really trusted them. They don't really trust youth like some other teams do. Are you saying that that's not true based on what?
Huh? What about Valverde? What about Rodrigo? And what about Vinicius Jr.? Those guys have played, started, got loads of minutes, etc. So I don't want to hear it. It's like Saka, Smith Rowe and Martinelli in our team. It's the same. So we can't say that he's discarded the youth. Please.
But he's discarded some, hasn't he?
But you've got to, because they can't play. Jovic has had chances. He hasn't been able to wear that Real Madrid shirt and do the business. So he's not going to play. Ødegaard has been on loan, etc. Learning his trade. He's done fantastically well. They brought him back a year early. But he hasn't hit the ground running, which can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're dealing with young players here. So, you know, the kid seems as though he's been around a long time. He's only 22. He's young.
Yeah. No, I understand that, and it's very difficult to dislodge a Luka Modric and a Toni Kroos, isn't it, really, in a Real Madrid?
Ana
Ana
Casemiro.
Casemiro, yeah.
You know, Valverde's the next one up kind of thing. He's been there. He's got different attributes to what Martin Odegaard has. And Valverde is an all-action player. He can play multiple positions. He's a runner. He gets stuck in. And he seems to be the next incumbent who's going to move into that midfield at some stage.
Yeah, I guess Diaz and Hakimi and
Yeah.
Ceballos and the Reguilon who's gone to Spurs, those are the ones that, you know, I was alluding to and are also included in Sid's article as well in terms of trying to show examples. And Llorente as well, who went to Atletico, in terms of maybe them not getting a chance at Real Madrid, which is why, you know, they've been moved on.
Not everyone's going to get a chance, Sophie. Not everyone's going to get a chance. And you know as well as I do, when the opportunity comes, you have to take it. You have to take it. Martinelli took his chance. Saka took his chance. Smith Rowe's taken his chance. You look at Reece Nelson, hasn't really taken his chance. He's done okay at times. So Willock's taken his chance. No, he's done okay at times. You look at Eddie Nketiah, hasn't really been convincing. You know, roll out who else? Who else do you want to go for? They haven't taken their chance when it's come. But the ones who are in and around it now, Sophie, they're the ones who have performed. That's just the way life is at a big club.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And Zidane's had some. I mean, it's not easy when you're at Real Madrid and you've got all of these amazing choices and these players to choose from. So I know you're not exactly like a super FIFA guy, Super Kev, but I wanted to kind of go over this with you before we get to kind of the real deal eye test type of stuff, right? Because the truth is, not a lot of Arsenal fans know about Martin. They don't know about his true attributes or his strengths. They haven't really seen him play. I don't care what anyone says, anyone who's acting like an expert right now and thinks they know what he's going to bring to Arsenal Football Club really don't have a clue. So his FIFA 21 profile assess rating, his overall rating is 83 out of 100. His potential rating is 89. His positions, creative attacking midfielder and a creative midfielder. Here are what folks say about his best attributes, Super Kev. Vision 87, dribbling 86, ball control 85, agility 85, crossing 84, balance 83, short passing 83, accuracy 83, long passing 81, and curve 81. They give him a 2-star for his weak foot. His skill moves are a 5-star. Here's how he compares to other Arsenal players. Lacazette had an 82, Willian an 80, David Luiz an 80, Pepe an 80, Bellerin a 79, Gabriel a 79, Tierney a 79, and Granit Xhaka a 79. Here's what he's compared to players as well in terms of ratings as good as Aguero and Kevin De Bruyne. You've seen him play. These are his attributes. And one of the things most people and Arteta was saying in his press conference today is that he provides a versatility and he gives Arsenal the ability to play, whether it's a number eight or a number 10, and he can even play on the flanks.
Yeah, I said that previously. I think what people are going to see, obviously, he's got to perform. That's without saying. What Arsenal fans are going to look to be able to see from this guy is the vision to be able to unlock a defense, whether it's at the top end of the pitch, in the mid-range where we really struggle. You know, when teams bank up on us. When they go 4-4-2, like Crystal Palace did, for instance, we really struggle to get through them. This kid can cut through that in one pass. That is the key. So I think that versatility that he has, that football brain that he has, that connection with the forward players who have good movement, I think that's going to be the really important part that he has to play for Arsenal, this Arsenal team.
Okay, so this was the game where everyone thought that he made his mark, Super Kev, because this was the Copa del Rey game where he came in and he scored and, you know, he felt like he was probably potentially on his way. As I said before, it's really hard when you're competing with someone like Luka Modric for that midfield place. And we've even seen players like Gareth Bale have to leave Real Madrid. I mentioned some of the other younger players too. Zidane, I think, does believe in Martin, but at the same time, he can't offer him first-team football right now. And it's really hard to dislodge some of those legendary players who've won, what, four Champions League. They've won
League wins last season and stuff. You know, it's hard. It's very hard. It's tough. You know, this Real Madrid team are seasoned. They're experienced. They've got incredible ability. And most of all, you know, the players, Modric is, what, 35? He's playing like he's 25. He's incredible. Cruz is in his 30s. He's playing like he's his late 20s. You know, they are so economical with the way they play. And they're so used to Real Madrid now that they could do it in their sleep. And that's the difficult part for Odegaard to try and break into that team. It's hard.
So Captain brings up a good point because Nalituba asked me if I play FIFA. I don't know. It wouldn't even know. I'm rubbish. I do not play at all. And then Captain says, you could be reading out the lottery numbers. That's all lost on me. So this is why we have Super Kev here this evening, because he has watched him play for Real Sociedad, where he really became a star. And what I wanted to touch on with Kev is that, you know, he really became a beloved figure there. He had a huge impact. And at the same time, even Sid Lowe in his article, and you guys should read that as Arsenal fans because it's really enlightening, that he, before lockdown, was potentially, Kev, one of the best players in La Liga. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've seen? I gave the FIFA numbers, but we both know that that's just a computer game based on algorithms and numbers. You've seen him with your own eyes and you've been impressed. Tell Arsenal fans why they should be excited and what skill sets and attributes you've seen from this kid.
Well, again, you know, a lot of the time Arsenal fans have mentioned about, you know, we lack creativity, we lack this, we lack that. Well, this kid, whether it's he's picking the ball up deep, he can hit a 60, 70-yard pass and cut a defence in two. He can play shorter passes the further he goes up the pitch. But one thing he can do as well is when he's got the ball, he can beat somebody in order to the defender. And he nine times out of ten, he chooses the correct pass to play, Sophie. For me, this is really important. We've got the likes of Aubameyang who hasn't had the opportunity to be able to get a pass where he's somebody to attract a defender to them, and then he gets a pass and he's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. That's what we see when we watch him at Dortmund. We haven't had that. He's been having to feed on scraps. We've been whipping crosses in, and that isn't how Aubameyang plays. So it's so important for Mikel Arteta to get somebody in who's got the keys to the locks. He's got the vision. There's going to be no more of this. Aubameyang makes a run and then makes another run and then makes another run and then the ball's not coming. As soon as he makes his move, that ball's going to be on its way. This kid could find him and obviously he needs to settle down. But I think he's going to get opportunities to showcase his talent. He's obviously got massive talent. I've seen it with my own eyes. He made a huge difference for Real Sociedad. And you're right, Sophie. He was probably one of the three most outstanding players in La Liga up until Christmas, New Year. He was. It was him, Lionel Messi, and probably another. Benzema, probably. They were the three top players. Mm-hmm. And he made a massive difference at Real Sociedad. So if we could have half of that Odegaard, I swear to you, we are in for a treat.
Okay, so there's a couple of questions that have come in from chat that I want to capitalize on while I see him too, and I'll kind of move on with some of the other things I have for you. Let's see. Keenan, he's a lefty. Lefties change the game. What do you think about that? We've talked about lefties versus righties in CB positions. As long as you have two great feet and you can pass the ball and do great things, does it matter? But does Keenan have a point here, KC, in terms of our team?
Well, I think at the back is different to the more cutting edge part of the team, which is going forward. Lefties, just for some reason, look more elegant. They look more balanced. They look like they absolutely unbalance the defence because they're left-footed. And when you get a good one, then you are absolutely in business. And Real Madrid don't spend good money and throw good money after bad. And this kid has got the quality to make a difference in our team, including the Sakas and Smith Rowes and Martinelli. So, you know, I'm rubbing my hands. I'm really looking forward to seeing him because I think he can add another dimension to what we do.
And I think it was Mike Hertz who made a comment. I can't find it right now, but he mentioned how, you know, he may be the answer, the cheaper answer to an Usam Aouar. And, you know, we've seen Aouar play in Champions League, especially. Not every Arsenal fan watches Liga, or they may do of late because of some of the players that we're attached to. And of course, we've seen Saliba and Gabriel and even Lacazette come from Ligue 1, among other players in the past. KC, do you think there's any credence to that in terms of if he works out, then we don't have to go spend 50, 60 million on a Usam Aouar?
No, not necessarily, no, because I think it's about good players. And Usam Aouar would be more than welcome at Arsenal to go with all the exciting players we've got. You can never have enough quality players, creative players, players who can unhinge a defence, score goals and create goals. And I just think if Ødegaard works out, there could be an opportunity to sign him, obviously. I think at Real Madrid, he's 22 now. He gets to the end of his season, 22, 23 years old. Would he get a chance at Real Madrid? I don't know whether it's for him now. But I think because Aouar can play multiple positions as well, it's kind of like that Man City, isn't it? You know, when you look at David Silva, you look at Bernardo Silva, you know, you look at Mahrez, you look at Sterling, you know, you look at all these guys, they've got weapons. Sterling could play right or left, and at times he'd play a false nine, and this one. We could really be flexible in how we play. So yeah. I don't think it's a cheaper option. I just think it's a option of circumstances that he's not actually getting the just desserts at Real Madrid, that we could bring him in and give him a run out and give him a try.
Okay. So one of the questions that kept coming up yesterday, and I said to everyone, hold your horses, because we're doing a special on Ødegaard today. The biggest question from every Arsenal fan is their concern is Emile Smith Rowe and him not being marginalised, Kevin, and that we don't want to stifle his growth. And you asked on Kevin Says yesterday, how do we keep our younger players, make sure that they're committed to Arsenal in the future? And one of the part and parcel of that is, you know, showing them that they could play and they've got a path and they have a career path at Arsenal. So Shane asks, and we'll put Shane on the tippy top of the every Arsenal fan question mountain here, is can they play together? From what you've seen of him in La Liga and what you know of Emile Smith Rowe, and if they can play together, how? Super Kev.
Be on the same pitch. That's it. No, and I mean this desperately. Smith Rowe can play wide. He can play number 10. There could be an adjustment in formation. There could be adjustment in where Ødegaard plays. He can play wide. He can play 10. He can play the 8 as well. So who's to say they can't? As long as they're picked on the same pitch and they're right, you play there, but it's fluid. You see, Smith Rowe, he's quite fluid. He likes to move around. Ødegaard will move around as well. It's wherever they can make the most danger to the opposition, that's where they go and make hay. Of course they can play together.
How would you, knowing their strengths and knowing their attributes, how would you set them up, KC? So if you're choosing that front three and the midfield, the flanks, how would you set it up knowing their style?
Sophie, I've just said, I've just said I think Odegaard can play wide 8, 10. Smith Rowe can play wide or the 10. So as long as they're both on the pitch, that gives us so much more flexibility to be able to play. And if Smith Rowe finds himself in the number 8 position, and Odegaard finds himself in the number 10 position, they could play there for 10 minutes and then they could switch around. That's what it's about. It's about having flexible players. And that's the way I would do it. I would have both of them in the team for the flexibility, whether it's one wide, one not, 110, one wide. To me, it doesn't matter. We've got to be able to use both players. And you know what as well, Sophie? We might even be able to go with a different formation of a 4-1-4-1 formation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4-1-4-1.
4-1-4-1. So you have four defence holding midfielder, which would be a Partey. You can go four players ahead of them. So it's more like midfielders and speed wide, and you've got Lacazette or Aubameyang at the top. So there's no teams who are getting out because you've got four in a line, and as soon as they play the ball, you can press them, you can do whatever. So it's flexible. You can move that into a 4-3-3 if you like. You can move it into a 4-5-1 if you like. You know, whichever way you want to do it, you can, depending on your position.
Yeah, because you've always said that Arteta's dream is to play the 4-3-3, and just being, I wanted to put that up there. He allows us to do that, doesn't he? Like, if he wants to play a pure 4-3-3, bringing Odegaard in, having Partey, and those players that you mentioned on either side, like Just Being says, that would work. That will work too.
100%. I mean, look, when you just imagine this for a midfield and a strike force. The holding player is Partey. Mm-hmm. On the left hand side of him, you have Odegaard. On the right hand side of him, you have Smith Rowe. Up front, you have Lacazette. Obviously, you've got Saka on the right, Aubameyang on the left, or Pepe on the left, or whatever. So just look at the permutations that you can have with these players. That is attacking. You've got your holding midfield player who, if it pops out, he breaks everything up. Good on the ball. Knows how to protect the back four as well. But you are going for it with the attacking players. This is what we want to ask them. We want to be able to attack. And when we don't have the ball, we can defend properly. And I think with Partey in front of that, we've got someone who can cover all of that.
Okay. Let me get to some more questions, because a player that, you know, it's not like we've just signed Thomas Partey, who we've seen and everyone has seen him in Champions League and they know. Odegaard definitely is a player that is a little bit unknown, but known to some fans, and mostly on FIFA, which is why I brought up those stats, not to say that those stats are set in stone, Super Kev. One of the things that a lot of fans want to know, let's see, injuries. Someone mentioned, I think it may have been Newman, that said he's concerned that we've signed another player that he had a knee injury, but I don't think it's a chronic situation with him, is it? Newman always likes to look on the dark side of life, by the way.
Kevin. Sophie, tell me a player who hasn't been injured.
Yeah.
You know, look, Thomas Partey played at Atletico Madrid. He was never injured. Comes to Arsenal, picks up an injury. Mm-hmm. Pablo Mari was injured. So, Kieran Tierney was injured. This is part and parcel of the game, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. This really is part and parcel of the game now. The fact of the matter is, you don't sign players on the fact that they're injured. You sign players on the fact of what they can do. And this kid, young man, can do it. He's got the quality. He's got the talent. What he needs is a platform to be able to do it. And I truly hope with somebody like Partey with him will really help him to push and develop his talent. And he could show us all what he can do, because I know he will be a crowd favourite. If he shows half of what he can do, he will be loved.
I think you've answered this really, but just to put South London's finest, by the way, I think he may be referring to you there, Kevin. They think they can work together. He can see Arteta playing a 2-8 system like Pep did at City. Is that?
Well, that's what I mentioned.
That's what you said, right?
Yeah, so that's what I mentioned about Thomas. Yeah, in the 4-3-3, Thomas Partey will be the holding midfielder, and you have two sort of number eights or two attacking midfielders further ahead of him. Okay.
Right.
So this like a wedge, like a triangle there, and then you have your wide players and your striker. So it's a tighter three in the midfield where you can play short.
Right.
Your striker comes off, which will attract one of the defenders, and then your wide players could be running in. How many times have you seen Sterling and Sane, who was there, making those runs inside?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where you need to be able to have players who can pick that pass. And that's why I'm sure Odegaard's been bought.
So this is an important side. Right, this is an important part of the game, and Keenan brings up another good point. I wanted to throw that up there. From what you've seen from him, how does he play with pressing? Because that's going to be important.
He works. He works. He's a hard worker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not one of these guys who, you know, switches off as soon as you lose the ball. Nah, not interested. No. He'll hunt the ball, but again, if you're going to do it, you have to do it as a team. You have to do it all together. And if you could do it together and win the ball again, he will pick the pass. Once you've won it, he will pick the pass
right.
And play forward. So, yeah, he's got a good work ethic.
Okay. Elliot Roberts, greetings from Toronto. Hello, Toronto. What a great city. I've been there many times for the Toronto Film Festival and had very good nights, Super Kev, in Toronto, I must say. Now, you've answered this somewhat, but Buendia's one guy that we're interested in. I think that's priced out for us to go for a player like him from Norwich in the Championship. But they're asking again, if he works out or not, how many attacking midfielders would we still sign? Also knowing that we have ESR as well. Do we still go out for even a Buendia, if even someone like Usain Aouar, who is earmarked by Real Madrid a little bit as well, which is maybe why we got the Odegaard deal at the point that we could.
Well, let's put it this way. If it was up to me, I'd sign them all.
Yeah.
And Sophie, I mean this seriously now. Mm. What you saw in the FA Cup on Saturday is a lack of squad strength. So when you're looking at the players who you could mix and match, you could pick Odegaard to play in the FA Cup, and then you change it and you could play a different system. You could play like he played Partey and Xhaka with Smith Rowe in there.
Mm-hmm.
Different, but just as strong. Big quality in the midfield. You've got enough talent in there to hurt the opposition as well. And you know what? You've got to be... It's a squad game, Sophie.
Yeah.
It is a squad game. And you cannot just rely on having one or two players in these positions. You need multiple players who you can mix and match.
Yeah, totally. And thank you, Overlord of Procrastination. Highbury Squad and a glass of whiskey in the evening has become something of a routine now, and I look forward to it after work. This makes us smile and makes us very, very happy. Kev, I wanted to ask you something about being around great players. He's been around great players. When you're at Real Madrid, you know, there's a reason why their training ground is called, and I can't remember what it's called in Spanish, but when you go up the stairs, it's like you're going into heaven, right? That's the whole kind of Real Madrid mantra. And he's been around players like Ronaldo. He's been around players like Sergio Ramos, Marcelo, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, Karim Benzema. You know, this goes a long, long way. He knows what it takes to have to work hard, be recognized, have that discipline. And it didn't work out for him for Real Madrid. Is he coming to us hungry with something to prove? He could have stayed at Real Sociedad, where he made a name for himself and he was one of the most elite players in La Liga. Talk us through that as well. He comes from a really good family, mentally strong as well. It seems that he's grounded in his ethics and how he approaches his professionalism.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, he's been at Real Madrid since he was 15, 16 years old. He's 22. He hasn't hit the heights of who he wants to be. He's been around some of the best players in the world in that squad. He's seen them win. leagues, he's seen them win Champions League, he's seen them win World Club titles, he's seen them win cups, but he's been on the outside kind of looking in.
Looking in, yeah.
Now it's his time. He's still young, he's 22 years old. He's played in Holland and done well. He's played in La Liga and made a massive difference to a team like Real Sociedad. So it's his time. He's going to think it's his time. He needs a team where he can be that guy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Arsenal don't have a player who they say is that guy. We have Saka, who's the jewel in the crown. Don't get me wrong. But with Saka, we know Saka's that guy wide. We need somebody in the centre of the pitch to complement Thomas Partey or another.
Yeah.
Who can be that guy offensively. He makes a massive difference to Arsenal. And I truly believe Mikel Arteta has pushed the button on this loan to get him in because he is his type of player.
Because Aubameyang's been our guy, but he's the guy banging in the goals. But that role that, you know, Odegaard's coming in to play is the puppet master. He pulls all the strings, right? Yes. Super Kev. So many teams build their teams around that position. And I think what we're finding is that, from what I can hear in Arteta's presses as well, he seems understatedly excited about this signing. I think there's something that he knows. This is the missing piece. And if this kid can stay fit and he comes in and he makes his mark, it could make the difference for us. Look what Bruno Fernandes. I'm not saying he's going to be Bruno Fernandes. Don't shoot me, everybody. Calm down in chat. But what I'm saying is, we talked about this on another show yesterday, is that one player can change the trajectory and the energy of the entire team. Is this that type of signing?
He's one of them. I think, to just put it to one player, I don't think Bruno Fernandes is just that one player. I think he ignited some of the other players as well. You know, Marcus Rashford's all of a sudden started coming to the party. He's even got Paul Pogba playing as he should play, etc. But Bruno Fernandes hit the ground running. And when you hit the ground running as a new signing, you know, we were talking about signings the other day, Sophie. And once you get the signings in the building, you get on the training ground and you want to see what they've got. Now, if he can produce some quality in training and he could turn the heads of a Lacazette and a Aubameyang, who are kind of the experienced players, and Louise and stuff like that, you think, whoa, this kid's got ability. All of a sudden on the pitch, you're going to see Aubameyang's energy level go through the roof.
Yep.
Packers, Smith Rowe, Pepe, because they know all I need to do is I make that move. As soon as he gets the ball, I've got to make my move because he will find me. And that's what happens. I saw Aubameyang make 5 or 6 runs against Brighton in the first half. And Xhaka just looked at him and played it square. You know, it's frustrating. I've been there. It's hard to do that to keep making the runs, where second half they picked it up and they got onto it, and we saw what Saka done. But you imagine having somebody in that midfield who can pull a few strings, who can be that player with the football brain and the vision to be able to find Aubameyang in tight spots, where he's one-on-one with the goalkeeper, to utilise his speed, to utilise Saka's speed, to utilise Smith Rowe in pockets where he's stood there and he gets the ball and he can turn it. All of a sudden, Lacazette could get slipped in. This is the type of guy I believe we've recruited on loan. Hopefully, he can produce it. That's what it's all about now. It's about execution.
Also, one of the things that you talk about a lot on this show is it's not easy to come from certain clubs and wear the Arsenal shirt. And we've seen players go and wearing shirts where the burden is heavy of the badge. You know, we saw Andy Carroll suffer from that at Liverpool. You know, we've seen players come to Manchester United. Juan Sebastian Varane, who really was one of the greats of the game, didn't set the world on fire at Manchester United. We've seen that happen at our own club too. Mm-hmm. He's coming having worn and tried to wear the badge of Real Madrid, which could be one of the heaviest to wear in world football. So when he's coming from Real Madrid to Arsenal, and no disrespect to our club, we know that Real Madrid are far bigger and more successful in terms of football history and what they've achieved. Does that mean that he's coming with maybe a little bit more of a calmness, like he knows he's been there at that level, Kevin? And how important is that, especially for a 22-year-old?
I think though, being able to handle the pressure is everything, because the demands at Real Madrid are brutal, let me tell you. And he's been there, obviously he's played, he's gone on loan, he's played, he's come back, he's trained with the best in the world. And now he gets an opportunity to come to a club like Arsenal, which is obviously a beautiful and brilliant big club, who have been languishing a bit. Let's be honest, we haven't been ourselves. And we have a manager who's trying to rebuild a squad to be able to challenge and compete. And a player of his ability and talent is needed. So he's coming, he should be coming with a confidence, Sophie, that I could do this.
Yeah.
I can do this. You know what I mean? I can do it, because it's not Real Madrid. I don't have a midfield of Cruz and, Modric.
Casemiro.
And all, you know, these are world-class, talented players. Mm-hmm. They don't have a midfield like that. Arsenal, the best player in the midfield is Partey, who's played against. And obviously, Xhaka's in there, or Elneny. He's thinking to himself, I could play in this team, definitely. And he's looking at a Smith Rowe, and there's no disrespect to Smith Rowe, but he's thinking, hold on a minute. I've played a season in La Liga. I've been at Real Madrid. I can do this.
Yeah. So you're listening to the Highbury Squad, the Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 17. We've got 10 more minutes left on the show. Get any questions in you have for Udegaard, for Super Kevin Campbell here. This is a really good question from Just Being. How do you think he'll do in a different, more physical league? We see this a lot, Kev, where players come. Look at Pepe. He struggled to maybe deal with some of the physicality. Liga is no donkey league, or people call it the farmers league, which is super unfair in a lot of regards, because I think you should give each league the respect it deserves for the culture and the football environment that they're in. Do you think this becomes an issue for someone like him? We won't know maybe until he starts playing.
He's got to play. He might struggle. It can happen. We've seen it happen before. But you know what, Sophie? He might just take to it like a duck to water, and it be effortless for him, because he finds himself in getting good ball on the half turn where he likes to be. He likes to be on the half turn and receive the ball and play forward, etc. So it might work out for him. I certainly hope it does, because I think he's a wonderful talent. He's a special player for someone so young. And you know what? To be able to recruit somebody like him, even on loan, just goes to show about the strength Arsenal have.
Yeah, completely agree with you. We're talking about our new signing, Martin Odegaard, who comes to Arsenal. He gets the number 11 shirt, rightly so at this point. Why not? Empower him, give him that arm around. Someone was saying, Matty, I doubt he's had an arm around him at Madrid. You give him that shirt at the Arsenal and he'll start, you know, running through mountains for you. Let's look at Don Juan here, because one of the things I did want to end on as we're looking at what he brings to the team and how our team could potentially set up. Not sure if he'll start against Manchester United, might be too soon for him, Kevin. But do you agree with Don Juan that this looks now like our strongest team when everybody is fit and who we have available to play as we know the team today?
It could very well be. Let's be honest. Emil Smith Rowe has done a fantastic job, but he's still a baby in terms of experience, etc. But he can make a difference. We're only going to know when Odegaard starts to settle, get in the team and play football. If he can get in and be that player, then that probably is our most strongest side. But that doesn't discount the fact that we could still be just as effective with Smith Rowe in there with Odegaard. You understand what I mean? It doesn't take anything away from Smith Rowe at all.
He did come. Did he come to Arsenal? He did when he was younger, didn't he, Kevin?
Yes,
this is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, 95 Winston, you're right about that. He did. Yeah. And so... He and also
I forgot him, innit?
Yeah, but also, Kevin, I think you have to look at the ambition of the player. So he could have stayed really comfortable, maybe staying at Real Sociedad, in a league that he knows. But in order for him to move his career up, and whether or not he's using Arsenal as a vehicle to get back into the Real Madrid team, I'm sorry, as a fan, I don't care about that. If he comes in and he has an impact and he gets us to a Europa League final, or we win it, or we get, you know, close to European spot in the Premier League, at this point, we have to manage our business and bring in what we can utilize to help us just do much better than we are right now in the league and Europa. Agree?
Yes, I do agree. I think it's he needs us and we need him. I think it's a match made in heaven. Again, it's all about once he crosses that Y line, he's got to do the business. Does he have the talent? Yes. Does he have the right mentality? Yes. Did the ability? Does he have the football brain? All those boxes are ticked, Sophie. Until he crosses that white line, that is the only way we're going to know. And it's I'm excited for it because I think what he's going to bring to the table is something we haven't seen in this team. Another dimension, what we haven't seen in years. So, hey, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to see him. And Liverpool are 1-0 up.
We're going to get off in just a second here so we can go watch the rest of that game.
You know, Liverpool are 1-0 up, all right? Just got to say that.
But MS Gunner brings up a good point, and so does Rich Paul, and I wanted to bring this up. Look, he looks like a baby-faced assassin. There's something, maybe there's something about these Norwegians, Kevin. They just have that, they'll look 20 when they're 50. Look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, right?
It's kind of the cold weather, isn't it? It's got to be.
It's incredible. But they bring up a good point in that we have enough young players at the club where he could gel with Saka, with Pepe, with Emile Smith Rowe, with Martinelli, like, and then you got the Godfathers in Aubameyang and Lacazette, and you know Thomas Partey and Xhaka. There's this kind of, you know, culture.
So you've got hierarchy, haven't you?
Yes, and you talk about that a lot.
I mentioned that quite a bit because I believe in it. I really do. The experienced players are here, and the young whippersnappers are coming up nicely, because don't forget there has to be a transition where the old leave and then the young are now the old, and then the other youngsters are coming up. You know, there'll be games of, you know, young v old in training, you know, 8v8, and the youngest 8 play the oldest 8, and who wins, and you know, it happens.
You've been there, haven't you? You've been part of that, have you?
I've been part of both. You know, I've been part of the youngsters coming up, and I've been part of the older. But it's so healthy. You have great banter with it. But it's all part of the development for these young players. Ødegaard, I think he's going to link Martinelli beautifully. I think he's going to link with Smith Rowe beautifully. I think he's going to link with Lacazette beautifully. I think he's going to link with Pepe. Because you know what? I don't think Pepe's had a player who could really give him the ball until I got shocked at Xhaka the other night. Because is that what Pepe needs to know when he makes a move he's going to get the ball?
And Mark's saying Pepe will be buzzing. Stick him on the left on Saturday. I mean, I think going forward, we might not see, you know, Martin play as much against him. He may get a run out. We don't know yet. Let's be patient. Someone just said this too. I put it up there. And we are, by the way. Who said? Bruno, yes. Hello, Sophie and Casey. Let's be patient. 100% here, Kevin.
100%. As we said, Sophie, he's got to cross that white line, and he's got to execute when he's on the pitch. Whether he starts, whether he comes from the bench, you know, he's got a small window of time, January to May, to do the business for Arsenal whenever he's picked. Mm-hmm. So, again, he ticks all the boxes, but he's got to execute. And that's what we hope he can do.
He's not afraid, and Andrew too as well. His success at Arsenal will be as much down to Arteta getting the right players around him. He seemed to suggest that the decision to go to Real Madrid at 15 was not his own decision. It never, I mean, there's a lot of decisions when you're, you look at Nicolas Anelka. It wasn't really Nicolas Anelka's total decision to go to Real Madrid. His brother and his family had a lot to say in that as well. And look, guys, when Real Madrid come calling, it is very difficult to say no, isn't it, Kevin, as a player? I mean,
not only as a player, but as, you know, your parents, mm-hmm. you know, when you talk to your parents and you go and see the prestige of Madrid and what they've won. And, you know, the history of that football club is probably the best in the world, isn't it, right now? So, you know, you look at them and you look at the players that they had at the time when he joined. You know, Ronaldo was ripping it up. They had a world club. Bale was, they had a world class squad and team. So, it's amazing football club, but it doesn't always work out. It doesn't.
Look what's happened to Arsenal players that have gone to Barcelona. Hasn't worked out for them. Vermaelen, Kleb. You know, the grass is greener on the other side, but they think it is, but it isn't in general. And so it's not easy to make these transitions and these moves. Guys, even as professionals, we get angst when we go to a different company, let alone you've got the world watching and you've got the media watching and you've got the eyeballs of the world on you, right? So listen, Scriv, I'd like to do this. Sophie, you need to extend these shows to twice as long. Great stuff with you and Super Kev. Well, I generally try and do that every night, but tonight I'm not going to. This is our player profile, Martin Ødegaard. We've talked about his attributes, characteristics. It's important that, you know, he has a really strong family background too. These days, Kevin, there's so many bright lights and so many things that can attract young players. I mean, you have your sons who play as well. You advise them all the time, not only as a father, but also as a player who's been through all of that, the importance of just focusing on your football. And he definitely seems to have a good shoulder on his head, which is why I think he'll work out well and get along with Saka, ESR, Martinelli. They just live, breathe and eat football. He seems to be cut from that same cloth.
Yeah, you've never heard anything derogatory about the young man. He seems to have a very good head on young shoulders. And let's be really honest here. He's got some good young players to dovetail with at the football club. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why not have him kind of leading them with a Tierney? Him and Tierney leading that young charges of Saka, Smith Rowe, and Martinelli, moving them forward for the next 5 months. That'd be brilliant.
Exactly. Daniel, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow as well. We're thankful that you joined us. And Mr. Waffles, definitely hit that like button if you dig us. As you know, that we're cool with that. And if you don't, then that's cool with that. But tell us maybe why you don't. We love good feedback, positive or negative. As you know, we're not afraid to take on the good and the bad.
Sophie, yes. Something else I want to say.
Yes.
His dead ball delivery is fantastic.
So I was going to ask you about dead ball versus movement.
Yeah.
That's how
his vision is brilliant, but he takes a mean free kick, you know, from the right-hand side being whipped in.
Who can you compare it to so we can kind of get a visual maybe of that dead ball? Is it like a dead ball, Beckham dead ball? Is it more of a dead ball?
No, the trajectory is different. You know,
an Alonso, like that sweeping ball at Liverpool. Like, what's your take on his dead ball?
Because he's a lefty as well. It's difficult when you look at a righty to left.
Yeah, that's true.
I hate to say it, but he's got some characteristics of how he plays balls with Mesut Ozil, because Mesut Ozil is an unselfish footballer. If you are in the right spot, he will give you the ball. And that's even in the box. If he sees you and it's a pass on, he'll just give you the ball, so it's a definite goal. A bit like what Smith Rowe done with Saka at West Brom. He's that type of player. He would just cut out the goalkeeper or a defender and pass it. But his dead balls are wicked.
That's a good one to know. Brilliant. Because, you know, here's the scoop. We're so poor at corners. We've been so, we can't even, and I love Saka and you love Saka and he's our boy, but clearing the first defender on corners has been a real issue for us.
It's an issue, yeah.
In that Southampton game, we saw how poor we were from dead ball situations. So that's a really superb point, Casey, to bring that up, because that's somewhere, that's an area we've really lacked this season, especially. We just haven't been able to capitalize on those dead ball situations. And does he take a good free kick from long distance and short distance, curling and taking a shot?
I mean, I'm looking at in and around the box mostly, both wide and central. Obviously, get it down and play and good deliveries in the box. I think having somebody who can deliver proper balls, not just hope balls, but proper balls that your attackers think, or when you bring the defenders up, they want to get a chance to score. And we've got defenders who can score, but they need good delivery into the box. And this kid could deliver some quality into the box.
Okay, cool. What do you think the value is of him playing with someone like Haaland at Norway, before I get you out on this? Obviously, he's a player who's sought after. He's had... he's played, I think he's got, what, 25 in 20? I'll have to check it. You guys can correct me. I think he has 25 international caps, but he's definitely played with him. Norway, I think, are one of those teams, is an international teams where they've got a little talent here and there. They're like, you know, they can cause an upset in a tournament or whatever, but they're not really kind of...
They're not the strongest.
They've had great players over the years.
And you know what? They've got a couple of players at the big clubs who, you know, they, when they play for the national team, they get together, then they're the biggest danger. I think him playing with Haaland is great, because Haaland's a runner, he's a movement guy. He makes his move and he's off, and he's expecting the ball to come. Now, if he's getting balls like that from Ødegaard, Aubameyang, he's going to be rubbing his hands, because that is what Aubameyang is. Aubameyang is a movement guy, wants to utilize his speed, but you need vision with him, and that's hopefully what we've got.
Okay, and you mentioned the dribbling at the beginning. I mean, he's definitely got that attribute. He's not afraid to take on players at all.
No, I think Mesut Özil was more of a passer. He's a passer, and he'll pass it and run. Whereas Ødegaard can beat somebody. And this is the thing about when a midfielder can beat somebody. Soon as you beat somebody, a centre-half or a defender has a decision to make. Do I stay or do I go to the ball? If they come to the ball, then obviously the man is free.
Yeah.
If they stay, then obviously Ødegaard can progress and slide balls in between defenders or take a shot. He's got a good shot as well. Or something happen. That is the difference when someone could beat a player in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ozil was, he had those one touches, those quick passes. I mean, when he was on form, he was singing like, you know, a bird. But the versatility, I think, that an Ødegaard can bring, hopefully, for this particular Arsenal team at this time with these players in this formation, with someone like Mikel Arteta and what he wants to do. You know, that I think that he can bring real value to the team. That is Big Ben chiming to say that I'm close to the hour mark.
We've had selfie time. Boom.
That's some great stuff. In summary, Casey, how do you summarize this for us? I think I'm super excited. I you know, he's not Usain Bolt, but at the same time, you know, he's been at Real Madrid. We've seen some good. We've got him on a good deal. You know, we're not losing our asses on the deal. We're going to see how this goes. You said we have to be super smart about loans and stuff like that. Playing with this young team, I'm personally excited about it. There's 250 plus in chat right now. Tell them why they should be encouraged by this signing in summary.
One is because he's more talented. He's played at the highest level. He's played in Real Madrid's team. And, you know, not that he hasn't had all bad games. He's had some decent games as well, so let's have it right. He's had some decent games.
This was one of his best in that Copa del Rey game,
You know, so he's had some good games, Sophie. So he knows what it's like to play at the highest level. He knows what it's like to play under pressure constantly. And I don't think, I think this is a lad, nothing phases him. I think he just needs the opportunity and the platform to go and express himself, to go and play. And he's a worker. Not only when he loses the ball, he'll try and win it back, which is what we need. We can't carry any passengers. I think this kid's got something to prove, and I would like to see him prove it at Arsenal. I really would. And do you know what I really love? I'd love him to get Aubameyang going as well, get him scoring more goals, and then we can have a right goal at the second half of the season.
I love that. He might be the spark that he needs. And once again, our best wishes to Aubameyang and his family. We wish you all the best, everyone at the Arsenal. Absolutely. Yeah. All that comes first always is family, and he's done the right thing. And I love how the club have been supportive, and his teammates and everyone tweeting about how that win was for him. And so once again, we just want to reiterate our best wishes to him. And look, Duncan's right. Think back to the mood a month ago compared to the excitement now. It's good to be part of that, Wayne. Exciting times ahead. Yes, I mean, the other team, look, 22-year-old players, young players that can speak multiple languages, you guys. This is impressive stuff. There aren't a lot of 22-year-old guys out there in the world that can speak multiple languages. And so, you know, it says a lot about moving an entire country and, you know, being able to, you know, take this on. And
into the culture, Soph.
Yep, absolutely. Great player profile, Sophie and KC, but let's not pin too many expectations on the kid. It's okay to be happy.
Mark, this is what's going on. We're profiling the player. We're not saying he's going to hit the ground running and he's going to do. What we're saying is these are his talents. We would love him to be able to showcase everything. But the key is we don't know what's going to happen. Once he gets on that pitch, then it's going to be there for us all to see. Hopefully, he hits the ground running.
Exactly. All right. Superb. Well, look, you guys, we're going to be back again tomorrow it's Friday, Casey. We've got through the week already.
Friday already. It goes quick. I hope everybody's been enjoying it, by the way.
Yeah, us too. And Newman, it's not overtime until it gets past an hour. Look, I'm at 56:37 right now.
Newman's right, because you said it would have been 45 minutes. And look at me now, I'm on 56.
I'm going to get Casey out so he can watch the rest of this game too. But listen, we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's show.
Oh,
too funny. We're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to do a show that is all about you. Remember, tomorrow night's show is just about the chat room. You guys,
yes.
That's it. No content from us. I have nothing prepared. We have nothing prepared. The whole squad is going to be around, and all it is about you. You drive the content. So get ready, get your thinking hats on. You get to ask anything, do anything. Within reason, Newman, okay? He's the one that needs to be... Maybe he and Taib need the ones that need to be given the verbal warning to. But yeah, so we'll be back tomorrow night.
Soph, you know what you need? You need a yellow one card. You need to give him a card. Step out of line.
I like that. KC, good idea. I'm going to have yellow and red cards on deck.
Yes.
And
the chat room, yes.
Yes, you can go live with us. Absolutely. And if you want to be part, I'll bring you into the broadcast, no problem. As long as you behave and you're good, I will do that.
Yes, now. Avant TV.
Exactly. Right. Kevin, will we be back tomorrow? And until then, hold on one second. Let me get ready here. Tell everyone, what do they need to know?
Listen, Martin Odegaard, fantastic talent. He's got it all. Can he deliver for us? I hope he can. Come on, you Arsenal, come on!
Love it.